This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association, a half-hour program featuring interviews and commentaries relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. I'm your host, Jay Schell. Our interview today is with Rick Reese, who, following his career on the faculty of the University of Utah, was asked by Yellowstone Park Superintendent John Townsley to run the Yellowstone Institute late in 1980. The following year, Rick began work on his book, Greater Yellowstone, the National Park and Adjacent Wildlands, that was published 2 years later. With a group of volunteers, Rick began the planning for creation of the Greater Yellowstone Coalition late in 1982. GYC was formally created in December 83, and Rick served as president for the next 3 years. So, Rick, let's begin by asking, what prompted you to found GYC 35 years ago?
Well, Mary Lee and I moved to Helena in 1970, and prior to that time, I had not been involved in conservation. But there was a hotbed of conservation individuals in Helena, Jim Posowitz, many others. And so we got real interested. We also got interested in what was going on there because we arrived just before the Constitutional Convention was convened. And I was on the faculty at Carroll, and I had 11 students who were interns. So I was at the convention every day. And that's when I got real interested in conservation.
So what was your training and background?
Well, my background is in international studies.
Really?
I was a Woodrow Wilson fellow at the Corbell School. My advanced degree research was on insurgency in Colombia and Guatemala.
Oh, really?
So it had nothing to do with natural resources.
So how did you get involved in conservation issues?
Well, those folks in Helena got our attention immediately.
Uh-huh.
We understood within a year or two a lot about these issues. And so we were involved. During those first 10 years in Helena, there were 7 wilderness areas created in Montana. And that really got our attention, and we were involved in that, and we were involved with Metcalf on Senate Bill 393 that created all those WSAs.
Sure, right.
And we met with Metcalf on several of occasions, especially on the highlight porcupine buffalo horn.
Yeah.
But we hadn't, prior to that time, I had been a seasonal ranger in Grand Teton for 7 years.
Uh-huh.
So we knew the Tetons, but we didn't know much about Yellowstone.
Uh-huh.
And one day, John Townsley, who was superintendent of Yellowstone, called me and said, I want to come up to Helen and have lunch with you. I said, come on up. I didn't know him. I'd met him only once at Mount Rainier many years earlier. And he said, we want to get you and Mary Lee to come down here and build a Yellowstone Institute. He called it.
Really?
And he told me that he had grown up in Yosemite, where his father was chief ranger. And as a child, he benefited greatly from the Yosemite Institute. And he wanted to get a Yellowstone Institute going. Now, at the time, I was the executive director of the State Board of Education, and we had 2 little kids, and he made me the princely offer. He said, we can give you and Mary Lee $900 a month. And I said, well, I think that's a non-starter job, but I'll go home and talk to Mary Lee. Mary Lee and I had spent some time in the Lamar Valley.
Yeah.
And I went home and talked to Mary Lee, and I said, what do you think? And she thought about 10 seconds and said, yes, let's do it. So I quit my state job, and in 1980, we went down and got underway at the Yellowstone Institute. And in 1981, I got to know Townsley well because we lived right next door to him. We had a residence in Mammoth, a residence in the Lamar Valley. And he came over one afternoon and said, hey, let's go outside here and have a beer or a cup of coffee, and let me tell you what happened to me. And he had just returned from Washington, where Secretary of the Interior Jim Watt had summoned him and said, on Friday, I want you here on Monday morning. And what happened is, a week earlier, Townsley had gone to a hearing in Cody that was revolved in around a proposal by Watt to open the Washakie Wilderness to oil and gas exploration. And he went over and he said, we've only got a couple of hundred grizzly bears left in the entire area, and we know for a fact that a dozen of them are denning here. And so I'd like you to consider that before you go much further with that. The next morning, Jim Watt was on the phone and said, you come to Washington. He went to Washington. Watt said, you're superintendent of Yellowstone. If you ever stick your nose outside of Yellowstone onto the national forest, you will be replaced. So he told me that story, and he said, you know, Rick, we need to start thinking in terms of a greater Yellowstone ecosystem. That's the first time I ever heard the term, and he said, and someone ought to write a book. So at the Yellowstone Institute, we had a constant stream of scientists coming through. And so my learning curve increased pretty quickly, but that's where the idea for the book came from. John Townsley, by the way, died the next year.
So how did you go about getting Greater Yellowstone Coalition off the ground?
Well, when I got thinking about a Greater Yellowstone ecosystem versus just Greater Yellowstone, I thought we need to get some folks together and talk about the protection of the entire Greater Yellowstone ecosystem. And
how did you go about defining the ecosystem?
Well, that's a good question. And we can talk a little bit about that. But at the time, we drew some lines that were in the first edition of the book. And it encompassed about 7 million acres. By the time we got to putting the Greater Yellowstone Coalition together, it was clear that the ecosystem was a much larger entity. And today they're talking about 22 million acres. But this question of how you define an ecosystem is very interesting. In 2012, the Forest Service produced a document in the Code of Federal Regulations relating to Forest Service planning, and they defined an ecosystem as a spatially explicit, relatively homogeneous unit of the earth that includes all interacting organisms and elements of the abiotic environment within its boundaries. So there was a lot of discussion, and we now talk about a Greater Yellowstone of more than 20 million acres based on the flora, the fauna, the wildlife, the soils, the hydrology, the topography, and consideration of how various components of the ecosystem interact and patterns of human use that are distinctly different from surrounding area. So by this standard, it's possible to delineate fairly definitive boundaries. And
So your primary objective at the time was to define that ecosystem and develop some protections for it?
Yes, that's exactly where we were headed. And so the GYC started out as an organization. The entire board were conservation advocates in Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho.
Uh-huh.
So the Idaho Conservation League, the Wyoming Wilderness Association, this is where we started. And it took off. People immediately understood what we were talking about, a greater Yellowstone ecosystem. And when we started to talk about what is there, we got international attention. The first article ever done about the impending greater Yellowstone ecosystem was in the New York Times.
Oh, really?
The second one was in High Country News. People really caught on.
How did those reporters catch on to the idea?
Well, we were talking to people, and at this meeting that I described in Bozeman in October 1982, we had several leaders of national leaders or staff of national environmental organizations. And they went back and they said, there's something going on out here that's important. Then we had a lot of media attention. And I think what happened here, John, was when we started to talk about what is there, and I talked about this in the library that day, but let me repeat this. However you define the greater Yellowstone, we can come back to that if you want. It encompasses an extraordinary range of natural features. Some are extremely rare, such as the collection of more than 10,000 geothermal features. There are more geysers in Yellowstone than the rest of the world combined. The petrified forest of the Gallatin Range. Others, such as hot water microorganisms that are entirely unique as far as we know on the planet. The headwaters of the West, three major river systems all arise here. The headwaters of the Yellowstone, the Snake, and the Green. The region embraces an astounding array of biodiversity. The largest elk population in North America. The largest herd of free-ranging bison, one of only two significant populations of grizzlies remaining in the lower 48, enormous, diverse assemblages of 95 mammals, 316 birds, 22 fishes, 2 dozen reptiles and amphibians, 12,000 known insects, I could go on, 2,100 species of vascular plants. And remarkably, the ecosystem, as we defined the boundaries, remained then and still does essentially intact, retaining its full historic complement of vertebrate species. And overlaying it all is the greatest concentration of arguably sustainable recreation, outdoor recreational opportunities in the entire country. So it's simply a land of superlatives. And when we started talking in those terms, people really paid attention. And that's when it started to take off.
So you wound up with board members from all over the country.
We did, eventually. Although, and today, the board and GYC is entirely different organization today, and I have some differences with where they're going and who they are. But I would say after the first 3 years, we brought in some important people. Mary Ann Mott, you know who Mary Ann is.
Yeah.
Wally Dayton was one of the first out-of-area people. Wally Dayton, who's the Dayton Department Stores in Target, and was deeply involved and interested in Yellowstone years before we got going. So we started to bring in some people like that. But during the years I was there, I would say that 80% of our board members lived within the region.
So have GYC's objectives changed over time?
Certainly their methodology has. We were considered to be a pretty hard-hitting advocacy organization. And GYC, and for that matter, MWA and others have backed away from that advocacy and have decided that maybe we can come together in collaborative efforts and get more of what we want. And GYC is deeply involved in this. And this their collaborative effort that they've worked on for a proposal for the Hyalite Porcupine Buffalo Horn WSA, they have come up with a proposal for 70,000 acres of wilderness in the Hyalite Porcupine Buffalo Horn area. The existing WSA is 155,000 acres.
Right, so they've cut it in half.
Well, and not only that, when we negotiated the bill with Metcalf and others, we started out at 300,000 acres, and we thought we could show defensively that. But in order to get the wilderness, to get it, the WSA, to get it going, we finally negotiated down to what we would consider would be absolute essential core at 155. Now, the collaboration between the conservation groups and the motorized and the bikes and others has now led these conservation groups to come forward with 70,000 acres. So we went from nearly 300 to a bill with 155 to 70,000. So you can see where I have some concerns about these collaborations.
Okay, well, Rick, we've run out of time. It's been a real pleasure talking with you. So many thanks for visiting today. We've been talking with Rick Reese, the founder of the Greater Yellowstone Coalition. This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association. I'm your host, Jay Schell. Thanks for listening.